chapter 6. Book of John, chapter 6, very familiar passage of Scripture. We'd like to read the first 14 verses. John, chapter 6. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. A great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. That's always the case. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There's a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men whom they had, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. This, of course, is John's account of the miraculous feeding of well over 5,000 people. Matthew, Mark, and Luke also record this event. And other than the resurrection of Christ, it is the only miracle recorded by all 4 gospel writers. Matthew records in his account in Matthew 14 and verse 21 that they had eaten, were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. John just says in his account, 5,000 men. But we see that there were women and children as well. So there were well over 5,000 people that had partaken of this meal. Each in their account record that this multitude was fed with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. John adds in verse 9 of his account that they were small fishes. So well over 5,000 people, 5 loaves, 2 small fishes. Each in their account record, and they did all eat, every one of them, and were filled. None of them just say they did all eat, but they all say, and they did all eat and were filled. There is a difference between, as we all know, between eating and being filled. And they did all eat and were filled. Well over 5,000 people. 5 loaves of bread. 2 small fishes. They did all eat and were filled. So this is truly a miracle. In verse 12 of our text, John records saying to the 12, Gather the fragments that remain. This is miraculous. That over 5,000 people are fed with 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. Not only is it a miracle that they ate, but it and that they were filled, but we see there were leftovers. This is truly a miracle. Gather the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost or wasted. Now, each in their account record that they gathered 12 basketfuls. Notice in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 20. Matthew 14, verse 20. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. Not just 12 baskets, but 12 baskets full. Mark chapter 6, verse 43. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. We see the same thing in Luke chapter 9, verse 17. And we see the same thing in verse 13 of our text in John chapter 6. Well over 5,000 people fed with 5 loaves, 2 small fishes. They ate, they were filled, there were leftovers. In fact, there were more leftovers than they ate. Because certainly it would not take 12 baskets for 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It took 12 baskets. There was more left than when they began. There was more left over. You've never made a meal when there was more left over than you cooked. But that was the case here. There was more left over after they ate than when they began. So again, this is truly a miracle. The miracle, there's many lessons in this miracle, and we've preached from this many times. Taught Sunday school series on the miracles. We covered it then. There's so many ways you can go with this. There's a good lesson here on God's math. There's good lesson on just giving what you have to the Lord and how much more it's worth in His hand than our hand. And on we can go. There's certainly a lesson here in God's provision of our needs. And we need to be reminded that whatever God provides, there's more. There's always more. There's always more with God. But we want to use this miracle as an illustration of the preached and taught Word of God. A couple weeks ago, last week, Brother Mark preached on running a race, and before that, we preached a message on the dynamics of the preached Word. And we saw that when the Word of God is preached, miracles have taken place to get to that point. And miracles take place while the Word is being preached and heard. When one is under the preaching or the teaching of the Word of God, they are in the realm of a miraculous possibility. And such is a privilege. It's a privilege to sit under the preaching and teaching of God's Word. It's not a right, it's a privilege. It also provides an opportunity. It provides an opportunity that you cannot find anywhere else. There's nothing like it. There's nothing in the world that you can compare it to. The preaching and teaching of God's Word. And we want to take the thought tonight from verse 12 and verse 13 When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained, and then this is what we want to notice, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. That which remained over and above that which was eaten. So there was, after this feeding, there was an unused surplus. An unused surplus. We want to speak tonight on the subject of the over and the above of the preached word. We want to notice 8 things concerning this miracle. First of all, there was a gathering. People gathered. Leading up to the gathering, John the Baptist, Matthew is the one that gives the fullest account of this in Matthew 14. John the Baptist had been beheaded. The apostles, after they had buried John the Baptist, were told in Matthew 14 and verse 12 that they went and told Jesus. A lot of lessons there as well. So that John the Baptist has been murdered. They bury John the Baptist. The apostles go and tell Jesus. Mark records in his account in Mark chapter 6 and verse 30, the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus. Gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things. Now, when the apostles gathered themselves unto Jesus, they are now in the realm of a miraculous possibility. Anytime that you gather unto Jesus, you are now in the realm of the miraculous. You are now in the realm of a miraculous possibility. You are now in the realm of great privilege and wonderful opportunity. After the apostles told Jesus that John the Baptist had been killed and that they had buried him, Jesus said, Come ye yourselves apart and into a desert place and rest a while. We see that in Mark chapter 6. In verse 31. Luke records in his account, and he took them and went aside privately into a desert place. So we have Jesus and the apostles. They are now in a desert place. The question is, how did this multitude, where did they come from? Well, the people of that region saw Jesus and the apostles departing. They had just witnessed Jesus healing individuals. Their curiosity is at an all-time high. What's he going to do next? And Jesus and the apostles get in a boat. They cross the Sea of Galilee. And while they are doing that, this great multitude of people ran around the lake and actually got there before Christ and the apostles. Notice in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14 and verse 33. Verse 32, and when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. But then notice, I'm sorry, I read the wrong verse. Matthew 14, verse 13. When Jesus heard it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And then notice Mark chapter 6, verse 33. And the people saw them, Jesus and the apostles, departing, and many knew him and ran afoot thither out of all the cities and outwent them. That is, they got there before Jesus and the apostles got there and came together unto him. So the apostles gathered unto Jesus, and now we see these people come together unto him. The fact that they got there before Jesus and the apostles show that they were filled with great excitement. They weren't just lagging, they weren't just lollygagging, they were in a hurry. And they gathered themselves unto Jesus. Over 5,000 people have now gathered. And as you look at them, once again, you see they are in the realm of a miraculous possibility. They know that. They have witnessed Jesus healing people of their own multitude. And they want to be near him. They want to see what is going to happen next. This is a privilege of theirs. This is an opportunity that they have. So it is every single time we gather to hear the Word of God. It is a privilege. It is an opportunity. But even greater than that, we are in the realm of a miraculous possibility. Number two, as you can imagine, well over 5,000 people, there was great need. There was great need. We see as the day wore on, the people became hungry. And this need that these people had was insurmountable in the eyes of the apostles, causing them to say, and Matthew records it in Matthew 14:15, Mark 6:36, Luke 9:12, send the multitude away. They're hungry. We do not have food to feed them. Send them away. So a need had arisen that the apostles considered to be insurmountable. So it is. Every time we gather together under the preaching and teaching of God's Word, the needs that are present are insurmountable. They cannot be met by man. Now notice in Matthew 14, verse 15, Matthew 14, verse 15, and when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past, send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. What we want to notice there, this is a desert place. We see that is also recorded in Mark 6, verse 35, and again in Luke 9, verse 12. So this need arises that is insurmountable in the eyes of the apostles, and they are now in a place that could not provide their needs. A desert place. Notice in Matthew 14, verses 16 and 17. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Lord, all we have is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So now the apostles realize this need has arisen. We're in a desert place that cannot provide the need. And every time we assemble, there are needs that are insurmountable. There are needs that cannot be met in this desert place of the world. But now the apostles come to the realization that in and of themselves, they could not provide that which would suffice this need. And so it is. when we gather to hear the Word of God preached and or taught, the apostles or the preachers in and of themselves cannot, an utter impossibility for them to provide that which will suffice. The apostles in and of themselves did not have the means to meet the needs of the people. And so it is with every preacher. They do not in and of themselves have the means to meet the needs of the people. When we gather together, the needs are insurmountable. Those needs cannot be met in this desert place in the world. And the preacher in and of himself does not have that which will suffice. So a miracle has to take place. Thirdly, there was a dependence upon the Lord. After the apostles came to Christ with this great need, Jesus said unto them in Matthew 14 and 16, they need not depart. Give them to eat. He laid a responsibility on the apostles. Give them to eat. In verse 17, the apostles, fully aware of their insufficiency, spake and said, again, all we have is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And in verse 18 of Matthew 14, Jesus said, bring them, bring what you have hither to me. And with no argument, they brought what they had to Christ. In John's account, we see that Thomas said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient. What that means, a penny was a day's wages. 200 days of wages would not be sufficient to feed this people. Again, the sufficiency is not in us. The sufficiency is in God. So, they bring what they have to the Lord. And with complete dependence upon Him, they did so. And the preacher needs to completely depend upon God. Completely. Thirdly, the hungry multitude. Hear this. The loaves have been brought to Christ. The fishes have been brought to Christ. They can see Christ with the loaves and the fishes. He commands them to sit down. He commands them to sit down. The specifics of this are given in Mark chapter 6, verses 39 and 40. They were sat down in groups of 100s and groups of 50. Seeing Christ with the loaves and the 2 fishes, they were excited. They'd already seen some of His healing miracles. And they were expecting something great to happen. They didn't know how it was going to happen, but they were expecting something great to happen. That ought to always be the case. Always. Fourthly, there was organization with this gathering. Again, well over 5,000 people, and it's not a mad frenzy rushing toward Christ for food, but they sat in companies of 100, companies of 50. There was order. There was order. There was control. There was peacefulness. There was peace in the air. This is how people eat best. It's hard to eat if you're surrounded by turmoil. Hard to eat if it's just mass chaos. But there was organization. And every time we assemble, We are to do so in an orderly manner. And we are to do so in a peaceful manner. Why? Because this is conducive to what we're here for. We're here to worship. But it is conducive to feeding. It is conducive to receiving from Christ. So we have this gathering, well over 5,000 people. It's a very organized gathering. Fifthly, the food is distributed. Notice Matthew 14, verse 19. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke, that is, he prayed. And gave the loaves, would be giving the loaves back to the disciples because they gave them to him. And the disciples then went amongst these groups of hundreds and fifties and distributed the food. Notice in Mark chapter 6, verse 41. Mark 6, verse 41. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them, and the 2 fishes divided he among them all. Notice, he gave them to his disciples, and what were the disciples to do? Hand feed the multitude? No. But set them to set before them. Sir, how much bread do you want? Set that amount of bread before them. How much fish do you want? Set that amount of fish before them. And this is how they did it. So Christ gave to the disciples, the apostles. The apostles then distributed the food to those who had gathered. Notice in the book of Luke, chapter 9, verse 16. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and brake and gave the disciples to set before the multitude. This is how it works. Then this, we, again, if you can remember back 2 weeks ago, the Lord gives the message. The Lord, then the messenger sets the message before the people. The messenger has no control over what the people do with that message. None. But each individual has a responsibility. So we see, now we see this multitude of people. And the food is set before them. Notice in John chapter 6, verse 11. Now it's important that we realize that when the apostles are passing out this food, they're not saying, just take a little bit now, because we got a lot of people here and we don't have much. Just take a little bit. That's not what they said. Notice in John chapter 6, verse 11. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. As much as they wanted. Once again, it's, sir, how much bread do you want? Perhaps the man broke a piece of bread off. He says, are you sure that's all you want? You want some more? And they did the same thing with the fishes. As much as they would. So what we have here is this multitude of people. And the food is spread before them. And that's what happens when the Word of God is properly prepared, when the Word of God is properly preached. The food is set before each and every one. And that's the picture we have here. Sixthly, the people ate. Matthew records in Matthew 14 and verse 20, and they did all eat. Mark records in Mark 6 verse 42, and they did all eat. Luke records the same thing in Luke 9 verse 17, they did all eat. It was the responsibility of the apostles to receive the food from Christ and then distribute that food amongst the people. And it was the responsibility of the people to eat. I don't believe that the apostles went around and said, "Now, ma'am or sir, open your mouth and let me put the bread in." That's not how it was. They set the food before them. And it is now the responsibility of each one in that multitude to do something with that food. And they could take as much as they wanted. And they did all eat. They did all eat. That means that no one was guilty as the food was being passed around of not paying attention or being distracted and somehow they got passed by. That didn't happen. They did all eat. They did all eat. They did not get distracted by someone or something which caused the food to pass by them. They did all eat. I don't believe that a single one of them had a single complaint about the bread or the fish. They did all eat. And I believe they enjoyed it. They did not put it in their mouth and spit it out. It's not the way Mom makes it. It's not what I'm used to. They ate. You know what that means? That means they put it in their mouth, they chewed it, they swallowed it, and it became a part of them. They did eat. That's what's to happen every time the Word of God is preached and or taught. Seventhly, they were filled. They did not merely eat, but they were filled. Again, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record this fact, and they did all eat and were filled. And again, in John 6 and verse 11, we read that the apostles distributed to them as much as they would, or as much as they wanted. Each person in that multitude could take as much as they wanted. In verse 12 of our text, John chapter 6, "And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." But what we want to notice there right now is when they were filled. There was enough for each one to have as much as they wanted, or perhaps we should say as much as they could eat. As much as they could eat. Some could eat more than others. Some can't eat very much when they come into the house of God because they ate before they got here. They've been eating all week long on the junk food of the world. So there's not much room to eat. But each one ate. Some were hungrier than others, no doubt about it. Some were just bigger eaters than others, no doubt about it. And so it is. Some had a greater need of food at that hour than others. So it is every time we meet. But they all went away filled. They all went away filled. You know, people say all the time, "You put out a lot of food, did you get enough to eat?" Well, if I didn't, that's my own fault. Yes, that's exactly right. That is exactly right when it comes to church also. There are two great weaknesses in many of the Lord's churches today. Number one, the message may be lacking in biblical content. If that be the case, that's a real problem. What that simply means is there's not enough food. Not enough food is being provided. That's a problem. The second big problem is the people are not hungry. Not hungry from what is being offered, at least. They may be hungry, but they're not hungry for what is being offered. Every single time we assemble as a church, you ought to come hungry. And you ought to come eager to be fed. And it is my responsibility, or whoever is preaching, to make sure that there's enough. That there's enough food for everyone to take what they will. And the truth is, people will take as much as they want or as much as they can. Sometimes we want more than we can take. Eighthly and lastly, there was a surplus of food. Well over 5,000 people ate as much as they wanted, ate as much as they could, until they were filled. John 6, verse 12. When they were filled, Jesus said unto his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Most are under the false assumption that the fragments are the crumbs that fell from the multitude's hands as they ate. And what the apostles were instructed to do was to collect the debris of the meal from the grass where it had dropped. If you believe that's what that says, I would suggest you read that verse again. Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. That nothing be lost. That nothing be wasted. You don't say that about debris. This was something valuable. That nothing be lost. That nothing be wasted. So the fragments are much more than just the debris. Much more than just the crumbs. By definition, a fragment is a part broken away. A part broken away. A part detached. So you had pieces of bread that had been broken away. You had pieces of fish that had been broken away. What was happening? People took what they thought they could eat, and like many times, you take more than you can eat. And that's what happened. They broke the bread, and come to find out, they took more bread than they could handle. They took more fish than they could eat. They took what they thought they wanted, but it was more than they could eat. And that's what remained. Each ate all they could, and there were leftovers. And the Lord was concerned about what was left over. Because he told the apostles, "Gather up the fragments that remain." There were 12 apostles. I believe we can safely assume that each, since there were 12 basketfuls, that each one filled a basket. Now you can believe what you want to believe, but I have a feeling that each of those 12 apostles ate from that from the basket that they had gathered. And I believe they ate more than one meal. Notice again concerning the fragments which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Over and above. I mean, a miracle has taken place. Well over 5,000 people have eaten as much as they can. And there's more left over than what they had eaten. Can you imagine what over 5,000 people can eat? That's a lot of food. And we talk about a conference. 200 people eat at a meal. 200 people can eat a lot of food. We all know that. But well over 5,000, they can put it away. They can put away a lot of food. But what you know, that if you sit at a conference and you watch everybody eat, you watch everybody fill their plate, and then you go to clean up and there's more left than you put out. Something's happened. Something miraculous has taken place. Jesus was concerned about those fragments. Jesus called their attention to those fragments. And I believe that when the Word of God is preached, as it should be, this will always be the case. There will be more left over that can possibly be eaten. There will always be more left over. When under the preaching and teaching of God's Word, you are to eat all that you can possibly eat in that church service. But after you have eaten all that you can possibly eat, remember this: there are leftovers. You haven't eaten at all. And it ought to concern you what has been left behind. Tonight, there will be people vacuuming. And if you can imagine in your mind as you vacuum, you are vacuuming up fragments from the preached Word of God that people did not use. But you see, the idea is this: a message ought to contain more than any one individual can possibly use at that particular mealtime. But just like at a restaurant, if you have food left over, guess what? You're taking it home. You're taking it home. And why is it? It doesn't upset anybody when you go to a restaurant and they give you more food than you can eat and you eat off of for the next 2 days. That doesn't upset you at all. But if someone preaches and they give more than you can take in, oh, this is awful. But it's a wonderful thing. Just always remember, there's more left than what's been eaten. You take however many people are here tonight or any church service, there's more left than been eaten. The question is, what do we do with that which is left? That's the question. What do we do with that which is left? Jesus said, gather up the fragments that remain. Why? So you don't pollute the ground? No, that's not the case. For future use. The reason that nothing, notice that phrase, that nothing, that means that not a thing be lost, be wasted. That ought to concern us. We ought to eat as much as we can eat during any church service. But what ought to concern us is, how much have I left behind? I need to gather all that up. Perhaps I can't eat it all right now. But what I haven't eaten, I ought to gather it up
and I ought to take it home with me. And I can eat on it a little more tonight, or tomorrow morning, or tomorrow afternoon, or Friday, or Saturday, until we come back again. Again, the sermon is not over when it's over, at least it shouldn't be. You've only eaten a portion. You've only taken in what you want or what you can take in. When the Word of God is properly preached, even if you are full and take in all that you can, there is more. What are we going to do with the excess? Are we going to just take what we need at the moment and leave everything else behind? Or are we going to concern ourselves with the fragments? I don't think we realize that if we fail to gather up the fragments, much is lost. Much is lost. You go to someone's house, you get home, your wife says, "Did you try the green beans?" "No, I didn't have room on my plate." "Oh, you should have tried them. They were great." Many messages, in fact, all messages. "Did you hear such and such?" "No, I didn't hear that. I was still feeding on back here." Nothing wrong with that. But you need to take it home so you can try it, so you can eat upon it. I don't think we realize how much we have lost through the years. Or in any given Sunday or Wednesday. Simply because we only take in what we want or what we need or what we can at the very moment, and we leave behind all the fragments. Each of the gospel writers record that there were 12 baskets full after all had eaten. Receive all that you can. But don't forget, you have not received it all. You have not received it all. Fill your basket. We ought to come to church. We ought to come hungry. We ought to also come with a basket. I don't mean a literal basket, but we ought to come with a basket. Something to put the leftovers in so that we can eat later. And then we take that basket home and we eat through the week. Just as Israel was to gather twice as much manna on the sixth day, we're to gather twice as much. We're in the sixth day. We're in the last part of the sixth day, and we need to gather twice as much. We need to gather every bit we can gather. This certainly is not the time to be eating less spiritually. We ought to be gathering more and more and more and more all the time. So don't forget the fragments. Don't forget what you didn't eat. And in the day in which we live, we have more opportunity to take it home with us than we've ever had. People take notes. That's one way to fill a basket. Take notes. Not for the purpose of being a Pharisee and nitpicking and trying to pick everything apart. That's evil. But you take notes so that you can go home and feed upon it. Another way is CDs. And take CDs home. "Because I already heard the message once." Did you hear it all? No, you didn't. No, you didn't. No one does. I've never listened to a message where I heard every bit of it. Where I received every bit of it, perhaps I should say. Neither have you. There's always more than you can take. So we have the opportunity. But most people's attitude is, well, I've already heard it once. Yeah, you ate once too. Is that enough? Well, I don't want to eat supper. I ate this morning. I mean, just carry that same attitude over. See how healthy you get. See how healthy you are. There's a website. People can listen to it over and over. You realize you can listen to the same message. You can listen to it every day the rest of your life. And if you do that, not saying you should, but if one were to do that, whatever they need that day, they would find there. That's how miraculous preaching is. Well, I didn't hear him say that when he was preaching. No, because perhaps then you didn't need that. Or you couldn't take that in at that time because you'd already taken in as much as you could possibly take. Or perhaps you were distracted by someone or something and you weren't paying attention. At that time, there's 1,001 reasons why we might have missed something. And they're not all bad. We might have not been able to take it in because we'd already taken in as much as we could. I mean, there are times when within the first 5 minutes of a message, and you're full. Oh, I've taken in as much as I can take. Well, just keep gathering up the rest of it. Just keep gathering up the rest of it and use it through the week. I believe we need to pay attention. We need to have concern about what's left over. Brother Tim, if you'd come and